Well, a big story that has been rocking South Africa for some months now is the residence, the men's residence at Stellenbosch University called Vulkenhof. Jaco Rabi joins us now. He has been instrumental, and we've spoken with him a number of times on BizNews. And we also have Willie Oukamp, who is from the Democratic Alliance and a member of parliament and the spokesman for the Democratic Alliance. But let's kick off with Jaco. It was a bombshell over the weekend in Report newspaper, which got hold of the affidavit from the Chancellor of Stellenbosch University, Edwin Cameron, highly respected former judge in the Constitutional Court, who says that the Vice-Chancellor, in other words, like the CEO of Stellenbosch University, and the chair of the council have altered that report. Jaco, this, you suggest, changes everything. Tell us why.
Well, I think the facts contained in the report really speak for themselves. The simple fact of the matter is that there was a so-called independent panel appointed to assist the university in leading them on the facts and to an appropriate decision. And basis what's contained in Justice Cameron's report, it's clear that an alternative to closure was initially part of the panel's recommendation. In fact, it was an alternative which the panel said, quote, appealed to them. Then, as a result of an interaction between the vice chancellor, the rector, and the panel, that alternative was removed from the report. And the removal of that alternative to closure obviously changed the entire tenor and complexion of the recommendation. And in addition, these changes were not brought to the attention of counsel, the ultimate decision maker. They were faced with a report which had only one recommendation, a closure, and were apparently completely unaware that up until a couple of days earlier, there had in fact been an alternative to closure contained in the report.
This is a hectic allegation, because it would suggest that those who got the independent panel to remove the alternative were trying to mislead the university council. I suppose it's in the affidavit. It's pretty clear. What are you guys calling for now?
Well, we've been, as you may know, there was recently a settlement between the Residents Association, as distinct from us, from the Alumni Association, and the university, as it relates to their litigation around the closure of the residence. The residents had approached the High Court for an urgent interdictory relief to stop the implementation of the decision to close the residence. That matter has now been settled. The Alumni Association were never part of that settlement, and our legal action continues. And it's in support of that case that this affidavit was filed. The Alumni Association are seeking to review and set aside the report of the panel, the recommendations flowing from it, and ultimately the decision to close the residence. And of course, this affidavit raises questions around the integrity of the process. It raises questions around the independence of the panel. It raises questions of bias. And as Justice Cameron says in the affidavit, it may be appropriate that a court ultimately adjudicate on what happened here. And that's our position going forward.
What surprises me is that the panel they took a lot of time. They appear to be people with integrity. They put this report together, and from what the judge says, Judge Cameron says, was that they knew that their report that had been given to the council was different to the one that they put together. That's the nub of this matter. And yet none of them spoke out. Are you suggesting that they were on the conspiracy with the vice chancellor and the head of the council? And I mean, you may as well just mention that it's Professor Wim de Villiers and former CEO of the Stock Exchange, Nicky Newton King, who's the head of the council. Are you saying that there's some kind of a conspiracy that was going on here to close the residence?
Yeah, I don't want to draw any implications like that. The fact is, we don't know what the motives were of the people involved. All we know is what happened. And what happened is that there was an interaction between Wim de Villiers and the panel. And as a result of that interaction, within almost 24 hours, the panel had materially altered what was in that report from a alternative of dialogue, mediation, amelioration, to taking this alternative and lumping it in together with options that were ultimately, according to the panel, not workable, leaving only closure on the table. What were the facts? Why it happened and the implications of what happened, that would be speculation. I don't think it's necessary to speculate. The facts speak for themselves.
Are there parallels here with what happened at Pretoria Girls High? And I ask this because Richard Wilkinson, who has been writing in great depth about Pretoria Girls High, in fact, he's got another piece on it. The headmistress there is still suspended. He reckons there are parallels. In other words, there was a particular agenda that was being followed. What is your position on that?
Again, I'm not really comfortable speculating on whether there are agendas being implemented. What is clear to us is that there was an intervention here, which was negative for the residents and for the alumni, that the university had input into the panel and their report, which clearly nobody else had. And as a result of that input, a material change was made, and the decision maker was, in our view, not apprised of all of the facts when making the decision, the decision maker being counsel. Again, the motives and the agendas, well, That's for other people to speculate about. We're simply interested in the narrow facts and that it's appropriate that these facts be placed before a court to ultimately decide on the legal import of what happened.
Jaco Rabie is the spokesman for the Vilkenhof Alumni Association. Willie Oukamp is a member of parliament, and it wasn't long after the report story came out with reference to former constitutional judge Edwin Cameron's affidavit that you made some, again, pretty hectic calls, Willie. You want the suspension of both Nicky Newton King and Wim de Villiers. This is hectic. Quite reputationally damaging to both of them, and clearly you would have thought this through very carefully before making that call. Explain your thinking.
Good morning, Alec. Alec, we must go back into the history of what happened with regards to Wim de Villiers and the University of Stellenbosch. You just used the word reputational damage to them, but I think we must look at this out of the perspective of the university. What is the reputational damage towards this university that Professor Wim de Villiers has forced upon that university? In 2022, there was allegations of nepotism against him. He admitted that he allowed his wife's cousin or nephew to study medical studies through the university whilst he did not comply to all the requirements thereof, and whilst there were other people that were on top of him on the list. So he benefited a family member, and that was apparently not the first time. So that in itself is huge reputational damage when the rector of a university comes and benefits in contra to what the university's transformation policy says. He benefited one of his own family members. Then we had the whole thing with regards to his handling of Afrikaans as a language, mother tongue education, etc., on that campus, which again, if you look at the outcry that was there, had huge reputational damage to the university itself. And now, Alec, we've got a former constitutional court judge, the highest court in the country, that is currently the chancellor of that university. And he comes out and he say, I saw the initial report that was done by the independent panel that was appointed by you, Professor Wim de Villiers. I saw that report. You sent it to me. Then afterwards, you sent me a new report, redacted, which in essence, although it's a few very small changes, but in essence changed the whole of the recommendations of that report. Then Judge de Villiers, Judge Cameron made him aware of the fact that there are substantial changes that was made through that. Prof. Wim de Villiers disagrees. At the end, he wrote a letter to Prof. de Villiers and said, at the very least, let the board of the university know that you have suggested some changes. And even after that, Prof. de Villiers still refused. He didn't want to only not show them what the initial report was. He didn't want to let them know what the fact that he made or suggested some changes. And I think that, Alec, is very important. Here you sit with the chancellor of your university trying to give you advice. He is a former justice of the Constitutional Court. His advice should be sound. That is one of the reasons why he is there. And you basically just refuse to take his advice. If you look at what's going on here, Alec, this is extremely worrying, especially if you talk about the reputational damage of the university. I do not so much care for the reputational damage of Professor Wim de Villiers and Mrs. Nikki Newton-King. They are the architects of their own sorrows in the way that they've handled this.
I guess from the business community's perspective, Nikki Newton-King's well known. She was the CEO of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange from 2012 to 2019. She resigned or left there at the age of 53, which was a surprise because she was still quite young. But how was she dragged into all of this, or was she a willing participant?
She definitely was a willing participant. If you look at the statement of Justice Cameron, he makes it very clear that he had discussions with her as well, that she was full on board. And in one of the paragraphs in Justice Cameron's statement, affidavit, he says that there seems to be a contradictory between what Prof. de Villiers told him on the phone, of which he gave a transcription of a voice note, and of that Mrs. Newton-King says. So the fact of the matter is you've got two individuals here who are on the top structure of management at the university. Both of those two people knew, firstly, that the initial report was changed, and it seems that both of them refused to let the board know of those changes. And that is unacceptable. The best thing here, Alec, would have been for Prof. de Villiers to resign. There has already been a new rector appointed for that university, and that appointment will come into effect in next year. So it is not as if the university will now be leaderless. He can step into that role immediately. We would expect, Alec, that the leader or the rector of a university like Stellenbosch will be a person that has got character and integrity. And my problem with Prof. de Villiers is if you look at the background of all the many things that happened in the past that he got away with, that it seems to me that his integrity compass needs some calibration. It is definitely not calibrated as it should be. And I therefore do not have a lot of hope and faith that he will do the honorable thing by resigning. The board is meeting in this week still. We will see what happens there. But what the Democratic Alliance has asked for is that there must definitely be an independent panel that be appointed by the deputy chairperson of council that will now investigate this. And if it then seems that the allegations made by Justice Cameron is true, then I can't see any way out other than Prof de Villiers and Mrs. Nikki Newton-King resigning from their positions.
Willie Oukamp is a member of Parliament. He's with the Democratic Alliance, and well, that's all of
interaction within almost
affair.